If you are a marketing enthusiast and you wish to learn the tricks up the sleeves of seasoned marketeers, you are at the right place. I am your host, Nishant Goyal, and this is the Marketing Chakravyuh podcast.
When you are building a business, revenue you generate and overall success of the business depends less on what your business is and more on what you as the owner, the founder do, your why and how of doing this business, how people know you, perceive you, and what they think of you has much larger impact on your business than you could imagine. And in today's episode, that is what we will cover, the impact of what people think of you on your business. So let's welcome Pia ma'am. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here.
As you know, it's about the business. So our today's topic is, it's not about the business. It's all about the person. So when we say this statement, what does it mean for you?
Sunishant, a very good question, actually. I believe all business is people business. The people you attract on the road to wealth will determine your success as much as or probably more than any other factor. At the same time, the mistakes you make in choosing these people will hinder you and hold you back as much or more than anything else. You know, people are everything. If you've ever heard me speak in public, it is very likely you would have endured hearing me recount a quote. So I know that quotes of the day are not everyone's bag, but sometimes you hear someone say something or refer to something someone has said and their words touch you. So a while ago, I had the pleasure of coming across these wonderful few words uttered by an inspirational business author, Simon Sinek. He said 100% of customers are people. Okay. 100% of employees are people. If you don't understand people, you don't understand business. Okay. And this kind of stuff. Some leaders think that business is all about tech, money, processes, supply chain. It's all nonsense, actually. All successful companies revolve around human needs. So when we say that it is about the person, it starts with you. It starts with your vision. Your business, your company, it all starts with that one idea, that one thought, that one problem that you wanted to solve in the world, right? Look at it this way. Without people, every patent in the world will be useless, right?
Yes, so, that's so true.
People are like the ultimate consumers of every product and service, even the most obscure manufacturing technology. Even when we talk about B2B sales, business-to-business sales, people make the decisions about what to purchase, when. The corporate leaders go on and on about building and sustaining competitive advantage. Companies try to compete on price, quality, or designs to create temporary advantages. Okay. The only lasting competitive advantage is knowledge your company possesses that competitors lack. That is going to give you an edge. And that is about the people your company serves. Again, we keep coming back to people. So take, for example, a firm that recently we have seen people cutting thousands of employees to increase profits. Think about the relationships it would have disrupted by taking thousands of people out of the picture. Now, those missing employees will have had numerous relationships with customers, partners, suppliers. Tons of information will disappear about their needs. As these employees go, so will their insights and information, right? So people is actually where it starts. How many people do you no, work in an organization that does not feel as though it is all about people. How many work in businesses that feel as they are not about, or they're probably more about spreadsheets or numbers or tasks or processes? No, we all talk about shareholder centricity, customer centricity, employee centricity. There are businesses that survive, and those are the businesses who genuinely do put people at the very heart of everything they do. So yeah, they are important.
That's interesting. So as you just mentioned that the organizations are customer centric and employee centric and even shareholder centric, then is that the reason there's a big difference in how the organization operates? And then we hear about personal branding nowadays a lot, that this is individual's brand, not just a part of company.
Yes. So, see, the pandemic has had a major shift in how businesses are being done. And we all see branding, personal branding, everybody is coming forth and talking about branding. And so it is important to understand what personal branding is in the first place. So if you take probably Wiki definition, so they say that personal branding is the conscious and intentional effort to create and influence public perception of an individual by positioning them as an authority in their industry, right? Elevating their credibility, differentiating themselves from the competition, which is basically your unique value proposition, to ultimately advance their, you know, career or work or business, to increase their circle of influence and to basically have a larger impact. So when we talk about personal branding nowadays, it starts from finding your uniqueness, building a reputation on the things you want to be known for, and then allowing yourself to be known for them. Ultimately, the goal is to create something that conveys a message and that can be monetized. So I'm just going to ask you one question, and I want you to think about it for a few moments. What do you want to be known for? You see, if you're able to answer this one question, you will have all the essence of personal branding. And if we kind of look at it in a more layman term, so if someone mentions your name, business, or brand, what do you want them to say? For example, if somebody is referring to me, I want them to say that, okay, you know, if you are not getting any solution, if you are stuck and you want a solution for your business, then Pia is the go-to person. If you're stuck, right? And that is why a lot of my friends, they have given me the title Keymaker, because I find solutions, right? Now, some people can answer this question in a matter of seconds, while it may take others a lifetime to figure out. So let me start by saying that personal branding is not just for someone who owns a business. Personal branding is also essential for influencers, business coaches, or the person who wants to share this story with the world. You know, whether you want to be known as the GOAT of entrepreneurs or the most entertaining speaker, or as the person who spends their life volunteering and giving back to the community, there is no wrong answer. If you want to make an impact in the world, creating a branding strategy is definitely the place to begin with, right? So I want you to start by going over the personal branding essence, the definition, and then dive deeper into the importance of having a personal brand online, because that's how the world is functioning right now. And it is definitely not about name and a logo, right? There is so much more to it than that. If you want to know my views on personal branding, then I'd say that personal branding is actually the practice of marketing people and their careers as brands. It's an ongoing process of developing and maintaining a reputation and impression of that particular individual or a community or organizations, right? So there are some self-help practices that focus on self-improvement. Personal branding, however, defines success as a form of self-packaging. So you would have seen a lot of courses out there, a lot of coaches telling you, find your niche, take certifications. There are ICF certified coaches that give them methodologies to, you know, coach people. So they have a niche, they have the methods. Now they don't know how to package and sell it. That's where personal branding comes in. You know, your personal branding is how you promote yourself. It's a unique combination. You need skills, you need experience, and you also need the personality that you want your followers to see. It is telling your story and the impression people gain from your online reputation. So I guess that is what I feel personal branding is all about.
Wow, that tells me personal branding is probably an essential part for any person, be it a CEO or a CXO or a regular employee, and how important it is to package what you're selling. So when you say that people should work on their personal brand, you just mentioned that you should start with thinking, how do you want people to think about you?
Yeah.
So if our audience wants to work on building their personal brand, what should they do to start out and curate how people perceive them?
Okay, that's actually a very important question, Nishant. See, the first impression online that people make of you is with your content. You know, you would have seen a lot of people saying that content marketing is important. Some people say that content marketing is not important. We have all sort of perceptions around us, right? I'm just going to talk about the content here, because content is the first touch point you create with anybody. Anyone who sees your post, right, and is on somebody else's timeline, likes it, and then sees, then comes to your profile and finds out who you are, what you do. It's like, you know, the organic mantra of getting leads for your business nowadays. But content serves a very big purpose in this. And it's like, you know, you have three tools in your arsenal. You have three knives. Why do you want one knife to be blunt and other two be, other two to be sharp? Have all of them sharpened. No? Keep all of them sharp. Keep all of them ready. So I'll just touch base on three major points. Apply here is that one, the content. Create the purpose. Right? So many marketers will tell you the agency way to attract more buyers to your person, create and share content all the time. Okay? Create more videos, blog posts, and eventually you'll have an influential brand and reach the KPIs you have in place. Guess what? I've seen that time and time again. Okay, that's also one of the biggest and most common complaints I hear from businesses and brands of all sizes. They spent all of this time creating new content, but no one ever saw it or engaged with it, which is a huge missed opportunity. Right? Sure, every business and influencer will have to create new content at some point, but you don't want to get in the habit of creating new content to check it off your to-do list, you know, or waste your time filming a video for 3 weeks if you only get 5 people to watch it. What works better is when you have a content strategy and budget in place to promote the content that you already have, as long as it still aligns with your visions and goals. We need to get more people seeing and engaging with the content that's already out there. Okay. One of our core beliefs and something I teach our clients is that if you're willing to post something online, you have to be willing to spend dollars promoting it as well. And if you're not willing to spend money on your own content, right, or if you don't see the value in your own content, then you shouldn't waste your time posting it. Might as well not do it, right? every piece of content you create should be created with a budget and a specific goal in mind. Usually, there are content pieces that go viral and you may not need a budget, which is very nice, okay? But the thing is that every copy you write needs to reach the right people. We keep writing, we keep posting, does not reach the right people, and then your customers will come back cribbing in, you know, we're not getting results. And that's what happens. It does happen. And that's why, you know, an agency setup is something that I am kind of, I won't say against, but yeah, something that I know does not work. So it does not matter if you have created a new blog post or a tweet or an Instagram story or a video. You should always spend time getting your content in front of the right people at the right time in their journey. Right? It is also important to show people the type of content they are interested in, not what you think they want. If you don't know who your ideal people are or what type of content they want to see, right? Then probably the first step for you would be to create buyer personas, which is a topic for another day. So that is one, right? The second thing is that you need to be consistent. You need to show up, you need to serve. So be consistent, show up and serve. So when building a personal brand, it is very important that your social media channels are consistent across every platform. You can't say that, oh, I am going to build my LinkedIn and, you know, no, I am not going to put anything on Facebook because organic Facebook is dead. There are people out there, right? There are people out there. Just remember that. Okay. So when you're building a personal brand, it is important that all your social media channels are consistent, every platform. They need to be visually appealing. They need to represent the type of influential person you want to be. They need to be you. Again, it is all about the people. It is all about the person, right? So who are you? What are your values? Now, if you see Gary Vee, Gary Vee is an excellent example of someone who shows up, who's consistent and serves his audience in various ways, and see how he has grown suddenly. Right? His growth curve has been very short. Now, no matter which social media channel you look him up on, you will see an overload of free content about side hustles, grinding nonstop until you reach your goals. Right? He found a niche where he could offer something valuable to the people and then became the most influential and authoritative thought leader in that space. He'll serve his audience every day by giving them free content and does it without asking for anything in return. Right? This is what we are missing from most influencers and brands today. Whatever niche you choose to be in, stick to it and be consistent. If you want to be recognized as an author, authoritative figure in the hustle and the grind space, the majority of what you post online should be about that. Try to avoid confusing your audience, you know, by being overly opinionated about a variety of topics. No, there is a reason that, you know, the fact that Siddharth Rajasekaran, right, talks about find your niche, sub-niche, micro-niche, a lot of niches, you know, drill it down to as much as you can and stick to it, right? And I guess the third part would be, once you have found your niche, of course, is to find a unique selling proposition. This is very important. There is a sea out there, you know. There is something we called as a blue ocean and a red ocean in marketing. So you need to find a unique selling proposition to ensure that you are not navigating the red ocean in which there are sharks and they can eat you. And I, by eating, I mean literally eat you, okay? So you have to find what is unique. You have to find what is special to your brand that will make you stand out from the competition. Okay, I'm going to give you an example of one of the most iconic brands in history who had great success with personal branding. Okay, now Coca-Cola. The minute I say this word, there is an image in your mind already. That's what a brand is all about. Okay. So Coca-Cola is one of the first businesses to incorporate personal branding into their marketing strategy and campaigns. They were one of the first brands to focus on brand personality and emotional advertising, something that, you know, all the freelancers are trying to do today. Emotional advertising, because they realized that it is about the people. Okay, it's not about the business. It's all about the people. So this brand created an identity that's built around values of joy, experience, community, happiness. If you look at any ad, you know, whether it is print ad or video that Coca-Cola does, all they are selling is an experience. They have created a brand that showed people the type of lifestyle that they wanted to be associated with. Okay, and despite how the advertising world has changed over the years, the main values and focus of the company have remained the same for over 100 years, right? So they knew if they wanted to capture the attention of their audience, they just could not sell a product. They had to sell an experience. And we are seeing the similar thing in Cadbury's. Kuch meeta ho jaye. The minute you say Cadbury's, you talk about festivities, you know. It has very conveniently replaced traditional sweets. Talk about Diwali. Do you know that, you know, in few parts of India, Cadbury's is not available in the shops. The supply stops. So last Diwali, I wanted to buy chocolate, Cadbury's lickables for my daughter. And I was not able to find it anywhere. And then I asked, it's like, what has happened? Like, how can a brand like Cadbury not have its supply in place? They're like, ma'am, festival season, right? It is festival season. So Cadbury's is all about corporate gifting and all the focus shifts. And jo wo pure saal mein kamate hain, whatever they, you know, get or whatever they are able to earn throughout the year is kind of equivalent to what they make in that festival season just by a very simple association. That celebration means Cadbury's, right? So
wow.
It is like that, and it has been. And if we are not able to tap into that, then we are going to lose.
That is big. So when we talk about strategies, it's a very fruitful strategy that both of these organizations have implemented. The emotional marketing, that personalized values, something people connect with.
Yes. So, they're giving you some aspirations, right? They are, and see, Nishan, that is what sells. I think this is a part of Robert Cialdini's book, Influence. And he says that if you want to sell something, either it has to be inspirational, or it has to be entertaining, or it has to be controversial. Right, so these things sell.
Got you. Okay. So inspirational, controversial, or motivational?
Motivational or entertaining, basically. Bollywood, masala.
Wow. Okay. That's why Bollywood is growing like crazy.
It is one of the biggest industries. I mean, imagine Salman Khan's picture. How much does an average Salman Khan movie make in the first day at the box office?
100 crores. At
right. And that is something that we, you know, promised businesses in a scale-up that we would do. You know, we'll scale you up to 100 CR. And that is what they make on day one. So,
yeah.
There you have it.
Wow. Wow, it's like my mind is already exploding with all this wonderful contextual information. So, ma'am, as we close this, what would you say should be the right plan of action to strategize a person's personal brand? So, for example, if our audience wants to build their personal brand, how should they go about it?
Okay, that is something for which I charge money.
Well, I'm in luck.
No, that's actually a very important question. Let me start by saying that personal branding is a requirement for any business leader in any niche. You know, to build a personal brand of authority, trust, and influence is the dream of many CXOs, VPs, directors, founders, and entrepreneurs and business owners in the world today. Unfortunately, many venture out to the digital world trying to build their personal brand, but they quickly get caught in the sea of social media vanity metrics, what we call them. How many followers? How many likes? Oh, only two people have liked. I get demotivated, right? Then, oh my God, you know, 200 people have liked my post. I've had 10,000 views. Okay, what business came out of that, please? See? So we get caught in the sea of social media vanity metrics, and that desire for instant fame that stunts their success before they even get started. I face this every day with the people I consult, and I'm telling you, it is same all over. I have clients from Europe, I have clients from Middle East, and they get stuck. Like, they want that instant fame. And there's this one client who is one of the best clients I've worked with. Okay. It's like, I just want, whenever I post something, 100 people, at least 100 people, I should have 100 likes on my post. It's like, and you know, sometimes when they are in the receptive stage, you can ask them. But I used to wonder, like, what will that get you? You paying me so much to consult you, right? And all you want is likes. There is something called growth hacking. And if you know, you have not read that book, I'm sure a lot of people know about it already, because we have 100 authors from 20 different countries who have come together, and we have this 480 page hack books on growth hacking in digital media. I guess it's available in ebooks, and we are looking at launching the paperback this month. So we need to understand that our personal brand is made of perceptions of how people interpret your actions, your words, your digital behaviors, and more. I see people having strong opinions, and you know, the goal, the objective is to build thought leadership. And then they get in a nonsensical debate with somebody who opposes their views or posts something not so nice on, you know, they forget, what would a thought leader do? Would they get into a, you know, a written brawl with somebody? No, they will not. Right. So these are a few things that we need to take into consideration. So your brand is made of perceptions, right? You cannot control their perceptions with only fancy graphics or logos or taglines or scripted videos with the perfect words. They need to see the person behind this. Again, they need to see you. The difference between Fitter and any other fitness app, even CultFit for that matter, is that you know the person. The person is very much human. You know that you can reach out to the person's available. He talks to you, right? Personal branding is about so much more than that perfect profile picture on LinkedIn, fancy logo, well-rounded professional summary, and snazzy content that is posted to all of your top social networks, probably on a daily basis, okay? Whether you consciously design it or not, you have a personal brand already. Now, what you need to do is understand what that is right now and take it to where you want. So your brand is just not your colors or tagline or your digital business card, maybe your fancy graphics, your logo, or the sweet looking set of memes and animated videos. Your brand is who you are. It is what you stand for. Your brand is your promise to the world and your customers, and how you deliver on it or maybe not deliver on it, that is what constitutes your personal brand. You cannot create it with somebody who does not understand you. Your brand is everything you do online or offline. It is what you say, where you say it, how you say it, who you say it to, who you say it to. It's where, where and how you comment on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, wherever. Your brand is the images you post. Your brand is the filters you use on Instagram. Your brand is the hashtags you use and the people you tag in your posts. Your social and digital body language speaks so much louder than your words. You can spend months creating the perfect message and the brand platform, okay? However, if you and your team are not living your brand online and offline, the words eventually mean nothing. People will make a decision in as little as 8 to 10 seconds that if they like you or not. And every brand impression matters. Okay, though you can't control your brand perceptions, you certainly can influence them if you take the time to understand how. Okay, as with anything in business and life, how you start is the key to success. So personal branding for business requires proper research, planning, development, and a course, of course. So how I do it, Nishant, is that there are two parts to the personal branding process. One is where you define your personal branding strategy, and the second is where you implement it. Okay, and these go hand in hand. If you don't define it right, implementation is a waste. If you define it very nicely and don't implement it, defining is a waste, right? So you need plan and action. They go hand in hand. So if when you're defining your personal branding strategy, A, you need to know yourself. It is all about the person. It is never about the business. I keep coming back to that. So know yourself. Know your objective, know your target, and then know your medium. Once you have all this sorted out, then it is about implementing, okay? Then you construct your identifiers. You claim your territories. You cultivate your relationships and you conserve your brand. Roughly, this is the path that a personal branding process takes. So you need for defining, you need to know four things. You need to know yourself, objective, your target, and your medium. And when you are implementing, you need to construct what identifies, it's basically your brand value, a lot of other things that your brand wants. You need to understand your territory, which is basically your target market. You need to cultivate your relationships, which is engage, give value, be there. If, I have to quote one person who has done this well, that'll be Saurav Goyal. I have personally seen him for last 3 years being available to people at 2 a.m. in the morning. People are calling him and he has, he works across geographies. There are different time zones. And I personally have experienced this that, I can call him up at any point of time. Even night, I have a Satori moment and I want to talk to Saurav and tell him that, oh, Saurav, this is something that I think we should be doing. He'll be there. That is why he has so many followers. That is why people swear by his name today. And he's just starting. Then you also need to conserve your brand. Once you have built your brand, it is very important that you conserve it as well. So I guess that would roughly be the path that I think people can take.
Wow. That too certainly provides a good direction to our audience when they will start building their personal brand. And I would certainly and very strongly suggest that if you are listening to this, you should start working on your personal brand.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing all the wonderful knowledge.
Thank you, Nishant. Glad to be here.
And to our audience, this episode, I hope you learned a lot from this because I certainly did. And for the next episode, our next week's topic is social media is a facilitator, not an alternative to human touch. So don't forget to send in your questions at questions@nishantgoyal.in. See you next week. See you in the next week on this series of life lessons that can make or break your business. Signing off, Nishant Goyal.